Hold your Bible up, would you? Hold the Bible. Hold the Word of God up. Shake it in the devil's nose. The only thing you can fight the devil with is the Word of God. Amen? I told some of my men in the mountains, you've got people sometimes that can't read, and so they won't bring the Bible with them. I told them old boys coming there to that little church, some of them coming up and sitting on the front seat, and I noticed the first few Sundays they weren't bringing their Bible. And I said, boys, where's your Bible at? They said, well, preacher, we don't read good. I said, well, don't worry about that. Just bring your Bible. Don't let nobody know you can't read. I said, we'll get you some tapes with the Bible on it, and it'll hear the Word of God, but you carry your Bible with you. They said, well, how do we don't know how to read. How are we going to know where to turn when you preach? I just opened it up right in the middle, and that rascal, about four, five, six people down from you, going to wonder how you found it fast. They don't know you can't read. Just bring a Bible with you. It's a witness. Hello. Amen. You ought to bring a Bible. You women don't go to Walmart without your purses, do you? Amen. Y'all not come to the house of God without your Bible. Now, if you don't have your Bible tonight, I didn't know that. But anyway, if the shoe fits, just let's wear it. Amen. You ought to bring the Bible with you. Well, in the Word of God, Matthew chapter 3. Amen. You pray for us tonight. Matthew chapter 3. And as Hosea did, he had the people of God to stand while the Scriptures was being read. Would you do that with us while we read the Word of God together? In Matthew chapter 3, and I want to read just a few verses here tonight and bring God's message, all right? In Matthew chapter 3, we'll begin reading here at verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, in all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Father, I pray you'd bless the reading and the preaching of your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you just have your will and way in this service tonight. May the Spirit of God, Lord, speak to every heart and every life. God, give us a meeting this week. The Lord, when we leave here, we can know that you've been in our presence. Lord, we've worshiped you in spirit and in truth, for we know that you seek such to worship you. Now, Father, I pray that all that's done this week in every message, every song, every testimony, Lord, that Jesus would get all the praise, the honor, and the glory, for we ask it in that name that's above every name. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want you to keep your Bibles open here in Matthew chapter 3 because I'm going to preach from these verses that I read to you just now. I want to preach on, look in verse 1. It said, in those days. In those days. I want to preach on this thought tonight. We need in these days what they had in those days. The Bible says here, in those days. Now, when I read the Bible, I read about people that really just got a hold of me. And I'm aware of the fact that God has used a boatload of people all throughout the Bible. So often we think it's our four and no more. But oh, listen, Elijah had that mentality. But God told him that there was 7,000 that hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. But you see, the Bible is true. God's used a lot of people throughout history for His purpose and for His means. But I want you to know God's used people in the past, and He's still using people in the present. And I believe God's got people that He's going to use in the future. But my favorite person, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, is this character by the name of John the Baptist. Now, John was as real could get. There was nothing fake about John. You see, this preacher, this prophet, by the name of John the Baptist. You see, the Bible tells us that between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was 400 years when there was no revelation, no prophecy, no preaching. And that's why we call it the Dark Ages, when God did not speak. But when God decided to speak, God had a man already prepared. And his name was John the Baptist. He was the mouthpiece for Almighty God. And he stands up and he's only got one message. And that is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, John the Baptist didn't have much of a personality. I mean, John the Baptist wouldn't have got in to most churches in this generation. But all the Bible says that all of Jerusalem and Judea went out to hear this man called John the Baptist. Now the Bible says here in verse 1, in those days. I want us to look at the life of John the Baptist and what God done in the life of John the Baptist in those days and compare it to these days. I'm convinced that God wants to do in these days what He did in those days. My friend, I believe that we're still serving the same God that Abraham and Elijah and Isaiah and all the prophets serve, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God does not change. He's the same all of the time. But I want us to look here at the life of John the Baptist. First of all, look in verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now, if you've got a pencil and a piece of paper, take note of this tonight. Note, first of all, John's mark. The Bible says here in verse 1 that John was a Baptist. It does not say John the Presbyterian or John the Charismatic. It does not say John the Roman Catholic. It does not say John the interdenominationalist. My friend, it does not say John the Methodist. But the Bible says John the Baptist. The Holy Ghost gave John that mark. I didn't give him that mark. I didn't give him that distinction. The Bible gives him that distinction. Now, I know that John was called a Baptist because he was a baptizer. But the fact still remains. He was identified with somebody. I tell you, it bothers me in these days that you can drive down the road and you don't have to go very far. And my friend, there's churches that used to carry the name Baptist, but they've dropped the name Baptist. And my friend, they don't want to be identified as a Baptist. They think, well, you listen, my friend, why do we think that we've got to drop our names, and my friend, to get along and win the world to God? My friend, John was a Baptist. We've got our worship centers today. We've got our praise and worship houses. We've got our purpose-driven churches. We've got our Rick Warren mentalities. We've got our Willow Creek movements. But my friend, don't call yourself by any label. That's what the world says. But my friend, you've got to have a label, friend, because you're going to be identified with one crowd or the other. And my friend, it was John the Baptist. And I'm not a charismatic tonight. I'm not a Methodist. And I've not got anything against those, my friend. But listen, I am a Baptist by conviction and by choice. Now, my friend, Baptists have got some distinction about them. There are some things about us Baptists that makes us different, my friend, because number one, we believe this whole book that's infallible, inerrant, inspired, immutable, immovable, invincible, indispensable, undeniable, undefiable, unalterable, eternal Word of God. We believe the Bible, the King James Bible. Somebody said, well, we Baptists are Protestant. You can't prove that by Baptist history, my friend. The Protestant, it's not Baptist. The Baptist didn't come out of the Protestant movement. When you mention the word Protestant, you've got to think about the Lutheran and the Episcopalians and the Presbyterian. That Protestant movement came out of the Roman Catholic institution, by the way. The church, Roman Catholic is not a church, it's an institution. Say amen right there. Amen. Folks, listen. I'm proud to be a Baptist. Listen, I want you to know that I got saved in a Baptist church. I got called to preach in a Baptist church. I was married in a Baptist church. I got saved in a Baptist church. And I married a Baptist woman. Amen. But such and such today has changed their name. My friend, we don't need to change our label. We don't need to compromise and use worldly mandates to win people to God. Now, I'm smart enough to understand that John was not a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing. I mean, John was not a temperamental Baptist as we think of today. But I'm not talking about denomination, but I want you to know, before the first pope ever came out of the Catholic movement, before, my friend, they ever cut our forefathers' tongues off in Baptist history, before, my friend, the first Presbyterian or the Episcopalian ever came out of the Roman Catholic institution, before the first Pentecostal ever got on TV, before Benny Hinn was ever born in Israel, before T.D. Jakes ever got on religious TV and blew that horn, I want us to be aware of the fact that there was Baptist preachers, God called Baptist preachers, that knew the Word of God and was God called, that run up and down the lands of this great world preaching, thus saith the Lord God. I'm here to tell you tonight, I am not ashamed that I am a Baptist. By the way, if we're ashamed of who we are, then we must be ashamed of what we have. My friend, listen, if you ever read J.M. Carroll's book on the Trail of the Blood, my friend, and ever read about how that, my friend, we became Baptists and what Baptist heritage is all about, then, my friend, we'd not be ashamed to be called Baptists. I'm not preaching that Baptists are the only ones going to heaven. No, I'm not a Baptist bride. I believe this Bible to preach and to teach that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm Baptist born, Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. And I won't be ashamed of it. But no, first of all, John's marked. Secondly, look at verse 2, or verse 1 again. Not only John's marked, he was a Baptist, but look here. In those days came John the Baptist preaching. Notice John's method. John's mark was he was a Baptist, but John's method was he was preaching the Word of God. My friend, doesn't say that John came selling Amway. It doesn't say that John came selling house insurance, health insurance, car insurance, life insurance. It didn't say John came selling used cars. No, in those days came John the Baptist. We've got it in our mind, and we've got it somewhere registered in our brain that preaching is a second-rate job. Oh, listen, preaching is a supreme deity and mouthpiece of Almighty God. And God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those that are lost. It doesn't say that John came with the power of psychology, my friend, with the power of positive thinking. I tell you, we've got so warped up today with this James Dobson mentality and other fellows that said, well, all you got to do is have yourself go to a psychologist. And my friend, talk to Dr. Bottlestopper and lay down upon some bed, let them diagnose you and put you under hypnosis and some kind of analyze you. They'll say, well, you're just the victim of circumstances, and after all, you're from a dysfunctional family, and you can never be saved and live for God and be what God wants you to be. Well, I've got news for every one of us gathered here tonight. Listen, if you've ever been born on God's green earth, you've been born from a dysfunctional family. You was born of Adam and Eve, and we've all been messed up because of what our grandfather got us into. Amen? Amen. But oh, listen, it's not psychology. It's not mathematics. It's not economics. It's not biology that gets the job done. And I'm not here knocking education. We all need to be educated. I'm not knocking schools. I'm not knocking college. We need all the learning that we can get. But I tell you, we've raised a generation of preachers that, my friend, don't preach this book like it ought to be preached. I tell you, we've compromised and tried to get along so good that we're preaching, my friend, and we're preaching away what the Word of God really says. All God requires of us is that we preach the book. John came preaching the Word of God. Hey, we don't need a bunch of sermonettes by a bunch of Christianettes, by a bunch of preacherettes that acts like a bunch of majorettes. We just need the Word of God preached. Amen. Preach the Word, Paul told Timothy. Preach the Word as it is and to men as they are. I've learned that if you rebuke sin in men and men in sin, and you learn to bow before God, you can stand before men. Amen. Amen. We ain't going to win no popularity contest. I've learned a long time ago, if you preach it sweet, they won't like it. If you preach it hard, they won't like it. If you preach middle of the stream, there's some of them still won't like it. So I just made my mind up, going to preach it anyway. Just let it fall where it will. Amen. John, my friend, came preaching. My friend, they asked me some years ago, Brother Ken, you got a PhD? I thought, now wait a minute. PhD. Yeah, I said, I got one of them. They said, what is it? I said, preaching, hellfire, and damnation. I've got a PhD. Some of them said, you got a doctorate degree in front of your name? I said, no, don't want one. I'm an orderly running around trying to straighten all them messes up them doctors is creating. Hello. Hey, listen, we need to preach the Word of God. Brother Lawrence, I found out not long ago when I went to the doctor told me what was wrong with me. He said, Ken, you know what's wrong with you? I said, what's wrong with me, Doc? He said, you got an addict problem. I said, what do you mean, Doc? He said, you're addicted, son. I said, I didn't know that. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're addicted. I said, yeah, that's right. Bless God, I'm addicted to preaching. I'm just kidding you. But I am. I'm addicted to preaching. If I don't get to preach in a week or two, I want to pull what hair I do got. Amen. Because God called me to preach. Hey, listen, John's mark, he was a Baptist. John's method was he preached. But look here in verse 2. The Bible said, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John's mark was he was a Baptist. John's method was he preached. But note John's message. It was repent ye. Oh, listen, I feel and fear that the message of repentance is a silent no in a lot of our Baptist churches today. Repentance has been rejected by the people and it's neglected by a lot of preachers. Dr. Harry Ironside said, repentance is not desirable, it's demanded. He said, repentance is not requested, it's required. He said, repentance is not called for, it is commanded. And apart from repentance, Nobody can ever be saved, and nobody that's ever saved can have a fellowship with God apart from a daily dose of repentance. And I say amen to that. My friend, you must repent. You have to repent. You've got to repent if you ever be saved. John had a powerful message. He proclaimed repentance. He had a personal message. He said, repent ye. My friend, repentance is a personal thing. I don't believe in household salvation. I don't believe in nationwide, household repentance. I don't believe in nationwide repentance, in community-wide repentance, in church-wide repentance. No, the Bible don't teach that. The Bible teaches, repent ye. It's an individual thing that God says every one of us must and has to repent. Amen. Listen, he said, you must be born again. He had a powerful message. Repent. A personal message. Repent ye. But it was an unpopular message. Repentance is still not popular today. If a man does not see himself lost and undone without God, my friend, he'll die and go to hell. Repentance is still in the gospel. You say, well, preacher, you can't repent because you can't remember all of your sins that you've ever committed. Who said that the Word of God said that we ever had to remember every sin that we've ever committed and have to ask God to forgive us of every one of those sins? No, the Bible teaches that we must repent in general, that we are a sinner and that we are lost, and by faith put our trust in the finished work of Calvary. You see, repentance is important. It was an unpopular message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When I read my Bible, I find John the Baptist one day ended up in a meeting. Herod was over the meeting, and Herod no doubt was probably going to speak, and John was in the midst, and somehow John got an opportunity to say a word, and John the Baptist said to Herod, Herod, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. And because John stood on that and rebuked Herod, my friend, John lived, my friend, preached for a living. But oh, he died for a living. They cut John's head off. But John stood up and he preached the word of God. I'm glad that John's message was repentant. But look here in verse 4. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. John's mark, he was a Baptist. John's method, he preached. John's message was repentance. But all John's manner was his garment. John came preaching, and he had for his raiment, or his garment rather, he had a double-breasted camel's hair coat. Can you see it? Look at him. I mean, can you see John when he came into town? He had a double-breasted camel's hair coat. He had leather breeches on him. And oh, listen, when old John stood there, he had locusts running out of his teeth or sticking in his teeth, and he had a little bit of honey running out the side of his mouth. I tell you, old John came. You say, preacher, why did John dress so weird? I mean, he had camel's hair coat. He had a leather breeches or a leather girdle. And he had locusts in his teeth and honey dripping from his lips. Why did he come dressed so weird? I'll tell you the reason why. If you study history real close, John didn't want to be identified with that bunch of scribes and Pharisees. For Matthew's gospel and the gospel declares that bunch of scribes and Pharisees, they liked to be seen in public. They wore the finely arrayed and bright colored garments, and they stood and they bragged in the streets and they prayed their long prayers. But Jesus said, verily, They have their reward. But listen, they call themselves preachers, but you see, John didn't fit into their mold. John didn't fit into their movement. I tell you, John didn't go to their preaching services, but they came out to hear John preach in Judea and Samaria and the surrounding coast. He wanted everybody to know that he was different. That, my friend, he was dressed different. Did you know something tonight? I'm convinced that the Bible teaches you and I ought to be different. I tell you, our mannerism and our garment, we ought to be different from the rest of the world. The Bible said in Exodus 11 and verse 7, the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. Whoa, the Bible said there's a difference between light and darkness and light. There is a difference. God's people ought to be different. Amen. We ought to be different. The world ought to know by the way we live and act that there is a difference. Oh, listen, he wanted everybody to know that he had a new name written down in glory, and it was his. He had a new nature, John did. He had a new name, and there was a difference in John's life. I tell you, there was a difference in John's heart. But my friend, note not only John's mark, he was a Baptist. John's method, he came preaching. John's message was, repent. John's mannerism or his garment was he had a double-breasted camel suit, leather breeches, and locusts and wild honey for his meat. But look here in verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. I note here John's magnetism. John had a great witness. Did you know what? We ought to be witnesses for the Lord. The Bible said in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I believe when we let God fill us with the Holy Spirit of God, it'll give us power to go out and bear a witness for our wondrous, wonderful, worthy Lord. You know what? We don't witness like we ought to. I tell you, since I got back into pastoring, I've enjoyed getting out and going visiting and witnessing to people one-on-one. I know when I travel a lot, I don't get a lot of opportunities to do that. But oh, listen, we ought to have a burden to witness for the Lord. And John, my friend, had here a magnetism about him. He witnessed, had a witness within himself, and it drawed people unto him. And they came confessing their sin. But oh, lastly, look here in verse 3. And this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. I note here John's ministry. John's ministry. You know what John's ministry was? John was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the ministry for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the word forerunner means? It means a table setter. John was a table setter. He was a road paver. You know what our job ought to be? You and I as believers in Christ, we ought to be paving the road for Almighty God to use us to prepare the way that others might come to the Lord Jesus. You and I ought to be table setters and road pavers. You know what? When we're at school and when we're at work and when we're out in the world at the store, wherever we may be, we ought to be a road paver, a table setter, setting the table for the work of Almighty God in somebody's life. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, for the Lord hath redeemed them out of the hand of the enemy. I want you to know tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're a table setter and a road paver. I tell you, if you come to church, you're a road paver. You're a table setter. If you love the Lord, you're a table setter. If you come to Sunday school, you're a table setter. If you're faithful, you're a table setter. If you give your tithe, you're a table setter. But look here in verse 1 again. Not only John's mark, he was a Baptist. John's method, he was preaching. John's message, he preached repentance. John's mannerism was his garment. He was different. John's magnetism, he witnessed. But John's ministry, he was a table setter. He prepared the way for Almighty God to do a work in somebody's life. I want to ask you tonight, is God using your life to make a difference in somebody else's life? Is your life having an effect upon somebody else's life? That's why God saved you and I. But look here in verse 1. In those days. You know what? We hear a lot about those days. You know what God used to do back there in those days? How God used to do a work back in the days of the Reformation and the great revivals, and how God used to revive and send great revival. My friend, I want you to know something tonight. It's good to read about those days, but you see, those days are not doing anything for us in these days. I tell you, it's good to read about them. It's good to read about those movements, but oh, I want God to do something, Brother Jay, in these days. I tell you, we need in these days what God used to do in those days. I want you to know tonight, I want God to do something in my life. I want God to do something in my community. I want God to do something in my church. I want God to do something in my family. I want God to do something in my children. I want God to do something in my ministry. I want God to do something in this meeting this week. I want God to do something in my marriage. I want God to do something in me personally, because God the Holy Spirit has the same power today that He did then. I tell you, if we're not burdened for these days, then there's something tragically wrong in our Christian life. The reason God has given us a roadmap, the Word of God, is so that we can look at those days and realize and understand that God can still work in these days. I want to ask you tonight, Grace Baptist Church, I want to ask you the same thing that I asked my church not long ago when I preached this same message. I want God to do something today. I want God to do something tonight. I want God to do something tomorrow. I want God to do something tomorrow night. I want God to do something this week. Do you want God to do something in your life? Well, I'm here to tell you, we need in these days what God did in those days. Do you want God to do something in your life? Or do you just want to come? I tell you, folk, we ought to get tired of this business just coming and going through the motion. I tell you, we ought to come wanting God to do something in our life every time we come. I tell you, if the Word of God don't move us, if the Word of God don't stir us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, something's bad wrong. I want God to do something in these days. I want you to know, church, God, He said, I am the Lord and I change not. My friend, do you believe God's changed? Talk to me. Do I hear a witness? Has God changed, Brother Jay? No, God ain't changed. God's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And He'll be the same tomorrow. Now, Baptists ain't that away. Baptists can change in a matter of moments. But I want God to do in these days what He used to do in those days. He still can do it. You know what the problem is? The problem's you and me. You know what we Baptists ought to do? You know what we Baptists ought to do? Well, just get out of the way and just let God have His way. Amen? I told the church last night, I was preaching. I preached hard last night. I'm a little hoarse from preaching last night. I told them, I said, some of you sitting right here, you go down there to that ball field with little Junior. I said, some of you grandparents run off down there with little Junior so you can see little Junior play ball. Little Junior hit that ball, and you get all excited. You'll jump up, lose all your righteous indignation. And I said, then you come to church, sit like a knot on a log, dried up, dead, cold, indifferent, petrified, solid as a stone, solid as a rock, and won't say amen, won't give a holy grunt. You know, that's what's wrong with Baptists now. They've got to where they can't even get a grunt out of them. Hello? Come on now. Come on, you have to loosen up if we have a meeting this week. Come on, folks are coming. Folks, neighbors are coming. We want to get loosened up here. If you don't, I'm going to come back and preach right close to where some of you look at us. I'm going to sit right down beside of you and preach right at you tomorrow night. Come on, now say amen every once in a while. Help me preach a little better. Come on, amen. Hey, do you want God to do something in these days like He did in those days? Say amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, I thank You tonight. Oh, for the sweet, sweet Spirit we've already felt in this place. God, thank You for the Word of God. Lord, how the Word of God's still real and how it's so powerful. Lord, how it still touches our hearts when we hear it. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would, Lord, just ease right in, right next to our bosom, right next, Lord, to our heart and whisper to us, Lord, we need in these days what they had in those days. Oh, God, I'm not ashamed. I'm a Baptist. I'm not ashamed to preach the Word of God. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed to admit that I need to repent. I'm not ashamed of my Christian mannerism, that I want to live and act and be like a Christian. I want to witness for You, and oh, I want to be a table setter. I want to be a forerunner for Almighty God to prepare somebody's heart to come to the Lord. Now, Father, have Your will and way tonight. We'll thank You and praise You for all that You do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.